Steve Dale here for Rokan on WGN. It is 6:39, and I had to wait a long time for this. This is toward the end of the show, but it's the moment you have all been waiting for. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, dogs and cats, it is Doctor. You are a doctor.
I am.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Paul Lisnick is here.
I had to do the end of the show because I think you're buying me dinner.
What? I didn't know that. I had no idea about that.
My world's oldest friend. By the way, I have to tell you, I've been listening to you today as I always. I know. Well, you and I heard your interview with Santa Claus earlier, which you did. People missed it. You actually interviewed Santa Claus.
Yeah.
But I thought, given your age, that the old father time would have been on your agenda.
Let me explain that we grew up together, Paul and I.
We didn't necessarily grow up.
No, that's true. And I had a babysitter that worked well. You know, that was you. So, Paul, I asked, you were wandering the halls or something when I did this. But I asked, I said, if you know the name of Paul's most recent book, of his 7,000 books that he's authored, I did say that, the most recent book is what? And I thought, oh, gosh, no one is going to get this question right. I mean, but actually, it turns out you have a fan, Mark in Downers Grove. Hi, Mark.
Wow.
Hey, hi, guys. How you doing? Happy New Year to both of you.
I'm doing okay, considering who's in the studio here.
Wow, Mark, thank you. You knew the name of the book.
Yes, absolutely. It's Assume Guilt. It's another Matt Barlow group of great activities here, and I really enjoy the book, Paul. Thank you so much for writing. And I'm a financial crime investigator myself, so I get engaged with a lot of different things throughout the great Chicagoland area. And by the way, Steve, I want to, my condolences to you and your family regarding your little guy, your puppy.
Absolutely.
Thank you. We
recently lost ours, and I really commend you for your prevention for animal cruelty. It's fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you for being Paul Lisnick's fan.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. I gave a copy of the book to the governor last week. I interviewed him. And as I gave it to him, thinking about what this is about, as Mark knows, which is, I said, look, governor, this is about Illinois corrupt politicians and a governor who might have committed murder. I said, but I promise I finished it just before you took office. And
did he laugh?
Well, he did. He kind of said, oh, it's about Blago. He was kidding. He was kidding. It was funny.
It was. And better for you, you get, not you, Paul, but Mark does, Lou Malnati Pizza, a gift certificate from Lou Malnati's, the home of Chicago's deep dish pizza. You can find one of their 40-plus locations online at loumalnati's.com. Hold on. I want to make sure we've got your address and all that information. Hold on, Mark.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Sounds like Mark got my dinner I was getting after the show.
Well, you're not getting dinner from me. I can tell you that. So I guess I begin here, political guru for Channel 9 television. Lori Lightfoot.
Yeah.
Mayor of Chicago. That was kind of a surprise, or maybe you weren't. I don't know.
No, I was surprised. It's very easy to Monday morning quarterback and say I saw it coming, but I didn't. What I did have were a lot of aldermen and other people, politicos, telling me, keep an eye on her. This was way back when there were, 15, 16 candidates going for it. And she was polling at about 2% in the polls. One of them was Alderman Scott Wagaspak, who was on the show and said, keep an eye on her. And of course, she came through big time, winning all 50 wards, 75% of the vote. And it struck me, either she was going to be a one-term mayor pulling off a surprise, or maybe a mayor for life. She has shown herself to be in the category of potentially mayor for life if she wants it,
because
she got that city council under control, equal to Rahm. Rahm had it under control more than Mayor Daley did, but she's equal to Rahm, probably stronger than Rahm. Alderman Brian Hopkins of the Second Ward said that as well on my show. And
what about the outlier aldermen? So there's a couple of aldermen. Burke is still an alderman.
He haven't heard a word from him since the very first city council meeting when she put him in his place, so to speak. We never heard from him again.
Or Lopez, who's Burke's sidecar buddy.
So Raymond Lopez of the 15th Ward, who you know as well, of course. And he will be a loyal opposition, but I don't think, with all due respect to Alderman Lopez, I mean, I think having Burke as a loyal opposition may be a little bit different than having some other aldermen as your loyal opposition. But look, even in the recent vote of the last city council meeting, when it was, will we postpone, marijuana being sold in the city until July 1st, Alderman Jason Irvin pushing that. And man, she got the votes big time. City council standing behind her. Strong mayor right now.
Mm-hmm. So how strong is she? I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the year 2020 and some of the things she had to do to balance the budget, or did she really? And I want to know what grade you give Lori Lightfoot. You know, they're in the radio Hall of Fame here, the WGN Hall of Fame, and I don't know if I could say this quite this, but really, I grew up listening to Steve King And I, every time, and I've been on their show many times over the years, Paul, I like pinch myself every time because they are radio royalty.
Yeah, well, I met them on the way in, and they were there, and it's just Steve and Johnny, and it's just sort of a magical thing to go, there they are. They're actually there.
Yeah, yeah, and they're the nicest people on earth, and they will be here after 7 o'clock. They're just like off the air. They're just like they are right on the air.
They also look at you and can't believe you're here.
That's true.
After all these years.
He's still here?
Is he standing there?
I know.
Is this Weekend with Bernie?
Is he standing? That in of itself. I am standing. So here's a question for you I was going to ask you,
yes,
and I am now asking you.
Okay.
So Lori Lightfoot, she made some changes that we're all going to pay for, at least some of us are going to pay for. She didn't hike property taxes, but she found her way around that,
well,
and we're going to be paying more for other things, or not.
Well, your property taxes are going to go up. She did, and it's easy to explain. This is nothing she did that was inappropriate. I mean, she talked about the $18 million tax increase that we're getting for libraries to be open on Sundays. That's not a lot of money. And then I think most people in the city sort of like the idea, like the concept of that going on. But that
I don't know about that. Most people don't go to libraries.
Well, I mean, they should. I mean,
yes,
that's right.
I agree.
That's right.
I agree.
I do a lot of segments on, you probably have too, but the library, it's not your parents' library anymore, right?
True.
I mean, it's not card catalogs and checking books out. But actually the tax increase is really closer to, I think it's closer to like $60 million. And that's because she inherited about $40 million or so, rounding numbers off, to taxes that were passed under the Emanuel administration. So she's not owning that because she didn't do it.
Right.
She also, but basically, so let's assume we all accept that that's not a big tax increase. But there were a lot of promises, a lot of, assumptions in her budget that didn't come through. She went down to Springfield, spent a day there, and she expected them to help out in the pension crisis, expected them to help out in the lottery, casino numbers, and they didn't do it. And essentially, some of the legislators went to her and said, Mayor, welcome to Springfield for your very first visit. It doesn't work this way.
Yeah.
You don't get to come down on one day and just, you know, even though you've got this kind of halo around you right now, make it all happen. Now, I did interview Governor Pritzker last week. I asked him about that question. He reassured me that he basically thinks, yes, we will work out the Chicago situation. If she doesn't work it out with Springfield, your taxes are going up again. They have to. But the governor seemed to be positive that they will figure something out.
Well, but other things are going up. Try taking an Uber now.
Yeah, no, well, there's no question.
After January 1st.
A lot of people, not just Uber, any of the ride shares.
Lyft is the other.
But it's also, it has to do with where you're getting on, where you're getting off. It's about city congestion. If you do ride with other people, the rate actually goes down. I mean, it's not as simple as just to say everybody's paying more in a ride share, because that's not necessarily true. It will be true if you're taking your own car into the city or out of the city during, I think it's what, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. And there are other ways in which she, over there, increase things as well. And I'm not saying she didn't need to do that. I'm just saying she did. So,
well, she had an $835 million deficit that she had to get rid of. Mm-hmm. And
did she really? Or is this magic numbers?
No. Well, some would argue that what she did might be a little bit magic because, you know, what's a balanced budget anyway, right? There are some who claim that they never exist. But look, when we heard $835 million as the deficit, there were many people who thought, you just can't get out of this. I mean, I guess on my show, you can't get out of this without raising property taxes significantly. So to her credit, she did. Now, will the chickens come home to roost? We'll see. They're certainly going to come home, by the way, after that, because the pension issue continues to grow. Payments have to go. So we're not out of the woods by any means, and she knows that. Once again, she, you know, as long as her ideas are good and she's involving people in them and involving aldermen and trying to not, you know, have anybody, you know, too many people be angry over it, she's on the road really towards success. We'll see.
Even after the school thing. The strike.
Well, that's a great question, too, because, of course, it was a very long strike. But, you know, did she get hurt by it?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
Well, I raised it rhetorical. That was a rhetorical question.
A what?
The answer is, oh, that's right. I forgot. I've got to talk.
I don't know those words.
I've got to be at a different level. It's a question she didn't really mean, Stephen.
Really?
So that I didn't mean. The bottom line is that, you know what? I don't really think it hurt her. Yes, there's a contract there, $500 million. That's got to get paid for somewhere. But the you know, kids are back in school. It got resolved. They're making up half the days. I just feel right now she continues to be in a honeymoon period. We'll see how long that lasts. But I don't see any groundswell of you know, anger or anything going on. Yes, she's got some loyal opposition, but the city, I think, basically stands behind her right now. We'll see as 2020 goes on if it stays the same.
All right. So your grade.
For her, I'm going to give her kind of a BB plus because I think there's
a what
a BB
are you
plus.
Stuttering?
Didn't
what,
we get
what,
to do?
What is a BB plus?
BB
plus.
Aunt B. You remember Andy Griffith the show?
Yes.
Yeah,
loved her.
And I do that because look, she's got some tough times ahead. I think part of that grade is influencing some stuff that still is yet to come. But I have faith that I think she'll kind of work things through in a satisfactory way for the city. I could be wrong, and we're going to find out. In short order.
I don't think you're ever wrong. Of course not.
Not that we ever admit, right?
No. So for 2020,
yeah.
What would be her goal or goals? Certainly lowering crime has been an issue. So one could say she's on the right road to do that.
And she's got to pick a very good superintendent who will step in a permanent way for Eddie Johnson. We have an interim right now.
Do you think this person will come from the ranks?
You know, it's a good question. Obviously, the union always wants them to come from the ranks. She has no relationship with the union.
Well,
that's right. And she already just brought somebody in from Los Angeles to step. But you remember Jody Weiss in the past, prior people. So, I think what she's after is probably my best guess is she's going to find who she believes is the best person for the job. If they come in from the ranks, great. If they're from outside, then that's the way it's going to be. She seems to make the point. She did it with the budget. Like, if this costs me my job, then so be it. That was literally what she said. She plans to do what's right. You got to remember, she was a partner in a law firm. And having been in a law firms myself, I can tell you that's a tough character, tough as nails to be. And she was a top lawyer at Mayor Brown. So, I mean, she understands the pressure. She understands the politics of it all. And I think she's going to play it strongly.
Our newsroom actually has a question for you, Mr. Lisnick.
Hey, Paul. David Jennings here.
Hi, David.
Are you surprised that it was Fred Waller and not Charlie Beck who stood up today as the front person in making the announcement about the city CPD's New Year's Eve plans?
Good question.
It is a really good question, and I don't know why Charlie Beck didn't do it. But then again, the information is out there. You have to think about it. It only becomes really important depending on what happens over the New Year's holiday. So if we get through the New Year's holiday in a relatively unscathed way, nothing's going to matter. I don't even want to say it, but I mean, if we do experience some level of violence in the city that's uncomfortable for us, then there will be people called on the carpet, and Charlie Beck's going to be one of them. So why that was done, I guarantee you there was probably some strategic reason to it, but at this moment in time I couldn't tell you what it is. I probably would be able to tell you better after the holiday is over and we see what happens.
So Rahm Emanuel was a consummate politician in many ways.
Oh, yeah.
Everything was very strategic.
Where'd he ever go? Where's he going?
Who? Forgot his name already.
What?
But whether to get a glass of water or from that hallway or that hallway, yeah, was strategic probably. Is she, Lori Lightfoot, as strategic?
I think she is strategic, but she is also she's also new to the political game. The Springfield example I gave before, I think, is just a perfect example. You know, she understands that the gravitas she's got behind her, so she probably on some level naively thought she could go down to Springfield and make the magic happen. And I will tell you, where she goes, people are lined up to take their pictures. They want to meet this mayor. So she's got that going for her, but she also learned, I think, the hard way to say, you know what, there's more to the politics. And I believe in my interview with the governor, he sort of made a comment along those lines. I'm not quoting him, but to the extent of saying, you know, she was sort of new to the Springfield game. She needs some time to see how that all plays out.
Mm-hmm. And she didn't do very well when she went down to Springfield, as we spoke about,
right,
but with her own.
There's a Springfield, but look, there's a spring session around the corner.
Yeah.
So she still has time to try and make things work. And I'm sure that during these, off weeks and a couple of months before Springfield gets back into action, she's certainly doing her share of meetings and discussions ahead of time, learning more about how Springfield works.
Okay, we have 20 seconds. Oh. A resolution. I know, it goes by fast.
Yeah.
A resolution for the city of Chicago. What would that be?
I think you said it before. I think it's about violence. I think getting, the budget is critical. It's critical to Tony Preckwinkle at the county and Lori Lightfoot. It's critical to everybody. But I think getting violence under control in the city, because I think it impacts. We have to have tourism increase. We want people to stop leaving the city. It all works together. Let's get a handle on the violence.
Yeah, I agree with you. And in fact, numbers just came out today.
Yeah.
You might not have heard. The population in Illinois declined again.
I did hear that. That's not an area we care to lead in. So yeah, that's unfortunate. But
yeah.
Happy New Year, my dear friend.
Thank you very much. We can see you on WGN Television, or we can see you signing copies of your book on any CTA bus.
That's right. Assume Guilt, available on any street corner you happen to see me passing. I have my podcast on WGN Plus called Behind the Curtain, where I get to play in the theater world some too. That's sort of fun.
You're the best at it. Thank you very
Steven.
Much. Paul Lisnick, there he goes. Bye.